In August 2010, Whoopi Goldberg's phone rang with the words that shatter a world. Karen, Ma died. Just hours earlier, they'd laughed together on FaceTime about grandkids and roses, ending as they always did, with, "Is there anything else you think I should know?" followed by, "I love you." Their just-in-case ritual that had suddenly become prophetic. 5 years later, her brother Clyde would die from an aneurysm too, leaving Whoopi as the sole keeper of their family's memories. "Probably none of us had the childhoods we think we had," she reflects. "We only have our individual memories of what we believe happened." This memoir isn't just celebrity storytelling. It's a daughter's love letter to the woman who transformed Karen Johnson from a little weird kid in the Chelsea Projects into an EGOT-winning icon. Emma Johnson's philosophy was simple yet revolutionary. "The confines of this neighborhood do not represent the confines of your life." Those words became the foundation of everything Whoopi would become. Emma Johnson deflected personal questions with wit and created a universe of possibility within their small project apartment. Though poor, Whoopi didn't realize it. Everyone around them lived similarly. What set them apart was Emma's fierce determination to expose her children to culture despite having no money. She took them to museums, galleries, performances, and the Beatles at Shea Stadium in 1965. She worked overnight shifts as a practical nurse at French Hospital, one of the few programs educating Black women, and refused welfare despite being a single mother without child support. "If I am able to work and take care of my own, then I should do that." Emma didn't tolerate complaining. You've got two choices: waste time complaining or figure out how to fix it. But she balanced this steel with joy, often laughing uncontrollably during family outings. Decades later, after once dismissing the Rolling Stones as noise, Emma danced in the front row at Whoopi's performance with the band Lighter Held High, embodying how they approached life together, embracing change and joy right up to her final breath. One afternoon, Whoopi found her mother disheveled, barefoot, wearing only a black trench coat over a slip, muttering incoherently. Paramedics arrived. Her brother Clyde became frantic. "Don't touch her. Wait. Leave her be." Whoopi followed protectively onto the elevator, angry at the staring passengers. When she tried to climb into the ambulance, she was pulled back. Kids couldn't go to hospitals. She and Clyde stood on the sidewalk as the ambulance drove away. It was the last time Whoopi saw her mother for 2 years. Emma had been sent to Bellevue Hospital for a nervous breakdown. No one explained what happened. Whoopi learned to be self-sufficient. Don't ask for anything, be good, don't cause trouble. When Emma finally returned, she seemed different, like she looked and sounded like Whoopi's mother, but wasn't really her. 40 years later, she revealed the truth. After experimental electroshock therapy approved by Whoopi's father and grandfather, she'd returned home with no memory of her previous life, including her children. She had to solve the mystery of who she used to be without letting anyone know. From that experience, Emma vowed never to see doctors again. Even when losing teeth or showing signs of strokes, she refused medical care, determined never to be institutionalized again. At the hospital after Emma's sudden death from an aneurysm, Whoopi and Clyde pulled the plug together. Their nucleus of three became two. Emma had been clear: "I don't want to be put in the ground and take up space. Just put me in the microwave." On what would have been Emma's birthday, they took her ashes to Disneyland, a place Emma had always wanted to take her children. Years earlier, when Whoopi had steady work, she'd surprised her mother with a trip there. Emma burst into tears, something she rarely did. "I was supposed to do this for you and Clyde," she said. They spent that day wearing Mickey ears, riding every attraction. Emma especially loved It's a Small World, her vision of humanity united. When no one was looking, they sneezed her ashes into the ride. Whoopi later confessed to a park employee who wasn't surprised. Apparently, many families do this. "My mother's death has been the most devastating experience of my life," Whoopi reflects. She realized no one would ever love her the way her mother did. Emma always knew Whoopi would be in the spotlight. Born with her eyes wide open, immediately turning toward the light, the newborn was so unusual that medical staff came to witness this baby with attitude. From her earliest memories, Whoopi knew she wanted to act. At St. Columba Catholic School, undiagnosed dyslexia made letters incomprehensible. She memorized what other kids read aloud, then pretended to read herself. Her mother never made her feel bad, telling her she just learned differently, reading to her at night and encouraging her, "You can do anything you want to do. It'll take longer, but you can figure it out." Whoopi left New York with toddler daughter Alexandria for California, despite having no concrete plan. Her mother warned she couldn't afford to bring her back if things failed. Seeking a more interesting stage name than Karen Johnson, she adopted Whoopi Cushone from a nickname about her occasional flatulence. When she sent her mother a positive theater review, Emma suggested something more substantial. How about Goldberg? Through Berkeley Theater, she developed The Spook Show. Mike Nichols brought it to Broadway after reading a glowing New York Times review, catching Steven Spielberg's attention and leading to her audition for The Color Purple. Even after that success, most roles were intended for others: burglar for Bruce Willis, sister act for Bette Midler. For Ghost, she was initially rejected until Patrick Swayze advocated for her. When she won the Oscar for Oda Mae, she finally felt accepted by her peers. Certain scents transport Whoopi back to our mother. Whoopi's potato chips, Werther's candy, Jean Nate bath powder, Chanel No. 5. The song "Who Can I Turn To" makes her teary-eyed. Her mom would sing along with Tony Bennett, and the lyrics about losing your guiding star capture how Emma navigated life and how Whoopi feels now. After her mother died, Whoopi felt a grief that stays in her toes, not crippling, but a persistent fog. Emma and Clyde were her home base, her reality check, the only ones who could tell her, "Don't be a dick," and make it feel like love. For those grieving, Whoopi has learned grief has no timeline. Let yourself fully feel it. For those who still have parents, have those difficult conversations about death while you can. If she could have her mom for one more weekend, Whoopi would show her electric cars and smartphones, then fly her to Italy. They'd sit on the beach, smoke joints, laugh, and she'd tell her everything that's happened. Nothing was left unsaid between them. Whoopi accomplished her mission of giving back to her mother while she was alive. Every birthday, she'd send flowers saying, "Thanks for letting me rent the room." Whoopi's new mission is to be more appreciative, like her mother, because she truly is the luckiest person in the world.